Everyone, it's good to have everyone back this morning. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful this day to be able to gather together in your house once again, Lord, and to sing praises to your name and to study your word and learn more about you and be drawn closer to you, Lord. I just pray that as we dive into your word this morning through this Sunday school class, that you would open our hearts and minds, that you would teach us through it, and that you would be glorified by it, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All righty. Starting off, who can give me memory verses that hasn't done it in the past yet? Sorry, Tom. Anybody? We've got three verses so far. Can anybody recite them? Okay, can anybody tell me what they are? What the actual verse is. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Okay, anybody got Romans 12, 1 and 2? Let's...
In unison.
Nobody? Nobody? Okay, does somebody want to open it up and read it out loud? Okay.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
All right, thank you, Mom. All right, what's the second one? 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Joan, do you have that one? You did, you did. Anybody else? Go. You want to, what's that? Oh. Go ahead, Joan. That's right. And then... So Titus 2:11 and 12. Well, let's hear it. Anybody else have Titus? Okay. How about the three of you in unison? Go ahead. Very good. Very good. All righty. Titus 2 and 11 and 12. So those are our three memory verses so far, and we'll add on another one this morning. Another two of them, actually. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. So if you're falling behind, you might want to get caught up now, because there will be an exam at the end. And anyone who fails will have to repeat the course. So this morning we're going to talk about profanity, and we'll quickly see that we're not just talking about just swearing, but anything filthy that comes out of our mouths, whether it be dirty words, dirty jokes, spreading gossip, all of it is displeasing to the Lord. And this is another issue that I was just raised with the proper mouth, and you know, we just didn't talk like that in our household. And I'm sure that there are a lot of you, just like me, who had their mouth washed out with soap and those various kinds of things. but again, at least my teeth are white. But again, this is another one of those things that I just grew up and didn't really understand the importance behind it. I didn't know biblically why it was such an important issue. And... again, this is if you think this is a new issue that has cropped up in just present times, it's not true. They had the same issue in biblical times. Man's speech has been an issue since the garden, ever since Adam blamed God and said, "The woman you gave me, I mean, it's just, it's been around forever. And we may have different words and different jokes that we tell now, but man's tongue has always been wicked. Just to give you an example of the problem of people's speech, the Bible refers to the tongue whenever it's talking about people's speech. And it describes the tongue as a wicked tongue, a deceitful tongue, a lying tongue, a perverse tongue, a filthy tongue, a corrupt tongue, a bitter tongue, an angry tongue, a crafty tongue, a flattering tongue, a slanderous tongue, a gossiping tongue, a backbiting tongue, a blaspheming tongue, a foolish tongue, a boasting tongue, a murmuring tongue, a complaining tongue, a cursing tongue, a contentious tongue, a sensual tongue, a vile tongue, a tale-bearing tongue, a whispering tongue, an exaggerating tongue, and so on and so on. I mean, it just, there's a plethora of horrible descriptions of man's speech. And so this is certainly not something new to our present age. Again, we may have different things that we say nowadays, but it was still a problem back then, and I'm sure that there were many curse words that that they had as well. So as Christians, it's not going to get any better until we receive our glorified bodies. I'm looking forward to that day. So as Christians, it's very important that we control our speech. And again, this is not a class on how to, but more of a why is this so important. Turn with me to James chapter 3. This is a pretty famous passage about controlling the tongue. I know Tom hit it when he did his series through the book of James, and I did an entire class on taming the tongue, and some of the things that I'll talk about this morning are going to be regurgitated and just a recap of the points from my last class, but I hope to give you some new verses as well. So James chapter 3, and would somebody please read verses 2 through 12?
So the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. But if we bless our God and Father, and with it curse men who have been made in the similitude of God, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same motive? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh.
All right, thank you. So starting off in verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Now, what is he saying here? Well, first of all, he's saying a man who does not stumble in word, a man who is perfect in speech and can control his tongue, is a spiritually mature man. And secondly, he's saying that if a man can control the evil tendencies of his tongue, he can control every evil tendency of his whole body. Now, how does he come to that conclusion? Well, I think it's because the tongue is one of the easiest ways to commit sin, because it's always there, it's always readily available to commit sin. For example, I can't steal anything that's in my own bedroom, because everything in there already belongs to me, although Caroline might dispute that. But you get the idea. If I'm sitting in my house where all of my possessions are, I can't steal. I can't commit that sin. However, sitting alone in my room, I can still commit sin with my tongue. I can still, easily do that. So I think because the tongue doesn't need any setup, it doesn't need any environment, it's because it's so easy to sin with the tongue, it is the most difficult part of our body to control. And so if I can learn to control my tongue, then I can learn to control all the other evil tendencies of my body. It's like a weightlifter going into the gym. I gave this illustration last time. If you're working out and you see a weightlifter come in and he lays down on the bench and bench presses a new world record. Does anybody know what the world record is for bench press right now? Anybody take a guess? Currently, it's 1,075 pounds for a bench press.
That's a female, right?
So you're in there working out, and you see this bodybuilder come in, and he lifts 1,100 pounds. I mean, a pretty impressive feat. And then the next day, you're working out. The same man comes in, and you watch him put 100 pounds on the bar and lay down. Do you think he's going to be able to put it up? I mean, obviously, because he already completed the more difficult task. So it's kind of the same analogy with the tongue. If we can control the more difficult task of controlling our tongue, then we surely should be able to control the rest of the inklings of our body. And so what that really teaches me is that if I want to work on my spiritual life, if I want to be able to, you know, get my act together and resist all the wiles of the devil, I should really focus on my speech, because if I can control my speech, I can control the rest of my body. He demonstrates this through a few illustrations of his own in verses 3 and 4. He says, "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires." And so it's saying that, you know, even just that small bit in the horse's mouth or that little tiny rudder on that huge ship, it can guide that ship any which way. And so it's the same thing with our tongue, that if we can control our tongue, we can control the rest of our body. So the first main reason why we need to control our speech is to properly grow. If you're writing these down. So for those Christians who think it's no big deal to swear or tell dirty jokes or to gossip, if we keep reading in verses 5 through 8, it says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." So, the tongue can just cause massive destruction. If any of you have ever been the victim of gossip or any of those kinds of things, you know how destructive that can be. Or if any of you have been in a verbal argument with a loved one, a spouse, a child, a parent, you know how easy it is to say just one little thing that can truly devastate them. And so the tongue really can cause massive destruction. It can it not only can destroy your life, but it will affect everything in your sphere of influence, just like the smoke from a fire seeps in and ruins everything around it. He's talking about this forest fire. You know, not only does the fire itself consume everything that it touches, but the great environmental damage that happens to the surrounding area. You know, when we had those fires up in the hills just a couple weeks ago, you know, the entire sky was clouded with smoke. And I know Dave could tell you, anytime there's a house fire, even if it turns out to be a small one and they can put it out pretty quickly, the smoke does a whole lot of damage into the house as well. So it not only damages the immediate area, but it damages everything surrounding. And verse 8 says, when you read verse 8, it says, "But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." So how do we tame our tongue? I mean, if we're saying that God tells us to tame our tongue, and that this is such an important issue, yet we just read that no man can tame his tongue, how are we supposed to do that? Well, this isn't a how-to class. Sorry. But I told you, we want to just look at the why of. But I'm trying to stress the importance of the issue so that you'll be inspired by the Holy Spirit to study and work on these issues on your own. But what kind of a teacher would I be if I didn't give you just something? I can't resist. Okay, so I'm going to give you just a couple of things on how do we control our tongue. First one is read and study God's Word daily. Every single day. Be in God's Word daily. It's so important to start your day. I'm trying to teach my girls, the first thing you do when you get up should be reading your Bible to get your mind in that frame. First thing off so that it's on the forefront of your mind all day long. The second thing is commit His Word to memory, which is why we're doing memory verses in this class. I think it's vital to have certain verses, the entire Bible, if that were possible, to have it memorized. But at least key words, key verses, so that, you know, again, these are things that if you guide or put them in your heart, the Holy Spirit will bring them forth at the appropriate times. And then the third thing that I had was give control over to the Holy Spirit. Obviously, it says no man can tame the tongue, and that's true. But God can certainly control our tongue, and we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work within us and to control us. So that's all I'm going to say about the how. Let me give you a second main reason why it's so important to tame your tongue. To praise God. The first one was to properly grow. The second one is to praise God. Verses 9 through 12. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So what this is saying is that we can't curse men with our tongues and praise God at the same time. And so, this falls into the how as well, is if you don't want to be cursing men, praise God, because you can't be doing both at the same time. So at all times throughout the day, be praising God for every little thing that happens in your life. And if you're in trouble, you need to be praying to God. But always have Him at the forefront of your mind. And that is one way that we can control our tongue. Let me take you to your first memory verse for this topic of speech. And in this memory verse, we'll extract yet another important reason why we need to have godly speech. Colossians 4:6. Colossians 4:6, if you want to turn there. So this is your first memory verse for today. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So starting off there, it says, let your speech always be with grace. With grace. That's such a beautiful word. In other words, we're always to speak that which is spiritual, that which is wholesome, fitting, kind, sensitive, purposeful, complimentary, gentle, truthful, loving, thoughtful, all of those things that are associated with grace. We're supposed to speak like that when? At church? Around family? Always. We're always to speak like that. And then it says, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Now, what does he mean by seasoned with salt? Is he saying that we need to be dumping salt on our tongue all the time? He's saying that our words should have the same effect as salt. Now, what are the two main uses for salt? Well, the first one is for flavor. I absolutely love salty things. I get that from my mother. I could eat a whole bag of chips in one sitting. I know she could eat a whole bag of popcorn in one sitting. I love salty stuff. I would put salt on my cereal if it were socially acceptable. When we relate it to our speech, we could say that our speech should improve the conversation. Okay, so just the way salt can improve the flavor of your food, our speech should improve the conversation. It should be edifying. And we'll look at another verse on edification in a minute. But the first thing that the reason he uses salt is to add flavor. It should improve the conversation. And the second is it's used as a preservative. Long before we had a lot of the preserving methods that we have today, canning and those kinds of things, they use salt as a preservative because it prevents decay and it purifies. And that's the next reason for controlling our speech, and that is to purify God's creation. Now, I'm not saying that God's creation is defective and needs our help. What I'm saying is, what Paul is saying here is that sin is the disease that causes decay in this world. Everything was perfect until sin entered it, and when sin came, so did decay and death. And so our speech needs to be a purifier in this world of decay. So our speech should be seasoned with salt for flavor and to preserve. Anybody have any questions or comments on that verse? Okay. Let me take you to your second memory verse then. So make sure you write that one down and have it memorized. We'll see another reason for having godly speech in our next one, and it's Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. There's that word again, grace. So the final reason here that I have for you this morning for the importance of controlling our speech is it will perpetuate grace. Perpetuate grace. Our speech should be instructive, it should be encouraging, it should be uplifting, and even corrective when it's necessary. But the main idea here is that we are Christians because we have been saved by grace and we are kept by grace. Therefore, we should live and speak with grace. Our lives and our speech should be examples of God's grace in our lives so that those around us will desire that same grace in their lives. Anybody have any questions or comments on that verse? Okay, so main reasons that I came up with for controlling our speech is to properly grow, to praise God, to purify God's creation, and to perpetuate grace. And your memory verses are Colossians 4:6 and Ephesians 4:29. And I'm done early, so we've got plenty of time for comments and discussion. Got nothing? Got nothing? Great. Anyone? Nobody?
She knows me well enough, she can do that. I'll still love her.
No? I did have somebody approach me this week, actually, when I announced what we'd be discussing this morning. They came up to me and wanted to bring up. They have heard that psychologists will say that swearing is one of the least violent ways of releasing tension and I guess letting off that steam valve. And this individual just wanted to know what I thought of that. If swearing really should be condemned, if it can be a healthy thing according to these psychologists. Anybody have anything on? Oh. Okay, great.
I don't remember where I heard it, but it was a teacher on the radio, I think, that we have this idea of letting off steam. But really, have you ever had the experience I really have where I kind of get started and I, instead of letting off steam, I build up a great head of steam, as they say.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah. Exercise and prayer. Well, my comment to this individual was that you should never be reaching that point to begin with. You should be relying on the Holy Spirit to be calming your heart and mind, and to think that there's ever an occasion when it is okay to blow off steam through vile words. It's contradictory to what we already saw, that our speech is to always be with grace. If there was ever an exception to that, I'm sure God would have let us know. So, hang on, Tom had something. Go ahead.
The danger there is exactly with bad speeches is, you know, it's a learned process and it's very hard to unlearn. And so if you develop that, oh, I'm going to use that, it's going to be a crutch. You're going to use that all the time and you'll never get over the root cause of it. It's to not become angry in the first place. Mm-hmm. Is to, you know, so, and besides, what do we ever believe?
That was.
As soon as they open them all and say it, you can discount it immediately. So.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. And yeah.
Why not other things
then? Well, I think what this individual was stating from the psychiatrist is that the swearing is the least violent way to blow off the steam, and that's why they thought that you should be able to do that. But we saw in James how destructive the tongue can be, and I think it can be just as destructive as any of those other things. Yeah.
So like I have a few friends that have started this with. It's like they get into the whole swear habit and then they became angrier. Not calmer, angrier. In due time. And I was like, that didn't work for you. Why did you do that?
I think it does open up the doors for all kinds of things. Yeah.
But if you say that like you said, you're not attacking the root cause. You know, you could just say that, oh, I'm gonna go have a drink, you know. You calm me down or something like that, and you're an alcoholic. I mean, it's at least there's so many other things if you're not attacking, just letting it out, like they say.
Exactly. I mean, if I'm having an argument with Caroline, it'd be very easy to blow off steam by saying something rude and nasty to her. But that certainly isn't going to help the situation. It's going to make it worse. You have to get, like we said, you have to get to that root issue.
Well, and then, by swearing all the time, that it becomes just a part of your language. I know when I first became a Christian, the one thing the Lord convicted me of is I needed to clean up my mouth. I mean, I worked in the courts with angry defendants. I went to the jail every morning. You cannot imagine what you find in there. And, I mean, it had become a daily with me. And I mean, it was just like saying good morning. And so it becomes a habit, and the more my mouth got cleaned up, not saying I still don't have my days, but I look at it now as a sign of illiteracy, because you don't know any other words to use for those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely can be habit forming and become a part of your natural speech. Raise your hand if you've served in the military. Okay, now put your hand down if you never swore while you were in the military. I never swore through high school growing up, and man, as soon as I entered in, you were in that environment, and you picked it up naturally. Unfortunately, but it became a gross part of me and my speech, and I'm ashamed to this day of it, and it is extremely difficult to break that habit. Nick?
The funny thing is like, I'm the same way, like never occur nerves or whatever. And then when I went in, the guys in the shop would actually try to get me to cuss because I just didn't do it. But it's funny how like even though you don't do it normally, how it goes into your subconscious, because normally every day I would never cuss, but I'll be at home and I'll stub my toe and it'll just come out and you're like, wow, what did that, like, I just don't do, like, but it's all how we're, you know, where you're at, what you're taking in, you know, movies and the people you're around, it's in there, it sticks in there, and like I said, it'll just come out all of a sudden, and it's like, wow, like, so not me, like, where did that come from?
Tom, you had something?
Yeah, Bill, there's so many neat things have been said, and so I don't need to be adding to, but there's a biblical passage that I've been trying to look up, and I couldn't find it, but it's something to the effect that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so anytime we have trash coming out of our mouth, the source is a trashy heart. And if we can look at this is what God has just convicted me of, and I like Shara, and you mentioned last week, that the way the Lord has convicted me, if we can see God's grieving over the trash that's in our heart, revealed by our mouth, if we love Him, we should certainly be convicted and by that conviction, open to His enabling. And you've already indicated, and I don't mean to be prescribing how to do this either, except I think sharing all this stuff without sharing how to do it is a waste of time. But I think being able to invest ourselves in the Word and memorize and just get a grasp of God's heart, and He cleans us up. I became a Christian when I was 33, and I shared with a neighbor what God had done to me. I stopped drinking just like that. It all got dumped in the trash, and it was down the drain, and it was gone. But that next weekend, this neighbor was at our house, and we were playing ping pong, and he just really obliterated me. And my mouth was just, I was so embarrassed by what came out of my mouth that I just, it's been such a reminder that I have that potential that God is able to defuse and eliminate out of my life. Eliminate in terms of, like Nick just said, though, if I do something that is stupid or that I hurt myself, you know, I will still come up with an unkind word. But it's things that God has done and is doing, it's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that verse go? You just, that would be something.
When they say to the heart is the window, the mouth is the window to the soul.
Matthew 12:34, thank you.
I like that scripture too, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to the Lord. And not always am I doing that, because I slip up too, because we have a sinful nature. We have to remember that is in us.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean it's okay, but with the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we can be overcomers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always going to happen. We're not going to have a victory every single day of our life until we see Jesus, but we can work on it.
Right. Yeah.
Now, encouragement is when we do slip, we feel the conviction and the guilt. That's comforting because you know that the Holy Spirit is there working.
Yes.
Because before, whether it's yourself or other people, and you're doing it, there's like, what's the problem? It's just, it's so natural. Now when you do it, there's that immediate sense of that what you did was so vile, and that conviction and ask for forgiveness and so on. That should be a comforting fact, because it's forgiven. And it's there that you are growing.
Alrighty. So, are we all on the same page on this one? Is there anybody that disagrees, that thinks it's okay? It's, hey, if that's what you think, you know. Okay, great. Joan, did you have something?
Well, I was just going to add on what he, that verse, you just keep reading.
Mm-hmm.
But I say to you that for every idle word that they speak, they will get accounted for it the day of judgment. For your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be justified.
Well,
said it. It's a habit. And I know that it's just a habit that this person uses this. But I don't like it, you know. But I know it's a habit. They don't even realize that they're using those words to express themselves.
Yeah, around other people, people know that, I think, and Nick can attest to this as well, if you don't swear, people around you notice, and you know, we've had clients that they've been long-term clients, and they'll accidentally swear in front of us, and they'll say, oh, sorry, and we've never mentioned it, but they notice that we don't swear, and so they just kind of know that they shouldn't either, and so kind of letting yourself be the example and be the witness, but, and so I've never flat out, you know, told somebody not to swear in front of me, because, again, I'm trying to just let my life be an example, but the Lord's name is in vain is one that I never put up with, and I always bring it up. And I don't know, maybe I should be telling people not to swear at all around me. I don't know, but yeah. I just say, can you please not use that, you know, phrase around me? There's I've heard many different ways that you can put it. But I just flat out say, could you please not use that, you know, around me? I find that extremely offensive.
Well, you're not offending me, you're offending my God, you know, that this isn't just some, you know, that you're just a small thing, you know, offending me. I mean, you're offending me, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Someone used the word Jesus when something bad happened, and somebody else says, what did he have to do with it?
Mm-hmm. I have a friend that she will, if they use the Lord's name in vain, she will look at him and say, why are you dating God?
Mm-hmm.
And then my other neighbor, he just simply says, do you eat out of that mouth?
Kiss your mother with that mouth. Yeah, there's, like I said, there's lots of different ways that you can bring that up. So it was refreshing to cover a topic where we can all come to the same conclusion and see eye to eye, and not so much Dave. But next week, we dive back into controversy, and next week we'll be talking about gambling. So, again, not a topic that is specifically forbidden in the Bible, and so we will need to draw some conclusions around it. What's that?
I'll bet you there'll be controversy. How much you want to bet? Okay. Well, since we're not going to be here next week, may I share a little personal thing?
Please.
After I became, before I was a Christian, I would go to Las Vegas and for business meetings, and invariably I would come back never having to pay a cent because I'd won the money, and I won as a result of my wife's friends, my wife's family's friends, when they retired, they moved to Las Vegas and they kept thousands of Keno cards. They came up with the numbers and they gave us 8 numbers that came up, and unfortunately, I don't remember them anymore, guys. These numbers, I'd have $40 that I'd be willing to spend on Keno, and I ended up never really having not paid for my meals, hotel, anything. Was all done by winning. After I became a Christian, I had to go to Las Vegas for a meeting and Lord, do you want to clean out Las Vegas? And I took my normal $40 and I didn't cut a single card, nothing was done. So I knew that my calling was not to clean out Las Vegas. But I'll donate it to you, Lord.
I was hoping you were getting to a good point there and not just praising the possibilities of winning at Keno.
You shut it off.
So next week we'll look at gambling, Lord willing. If there's nothing else, let us close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for these scripture verses that we've gotten a chance to examine. And Lord, we just pray that the truths that are in them would be hidden in our hearts, Lord, so that we would act according to your will, Lord, that our speech would be glorifying to you, that our speech would be edifying to those around us, Lord, and not destructive, Lord. I just pray that our speech would be an example of who you are in us at all times, not just amongst fellow believers, but amongst the world. I just pray that as we head into our morning service, Lord, that you'd be with Pastor Craig as he delivers your message from your word in Romans, Lord. And I just pray that you would be with our singing team and the congregation as we sing praise to your name. May it be glorifying to you. And I just pray that you would bless our time this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. About what? Huh? What is a byword?